So what was this dick that you were sitting on, Michelle? Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Mish. It's great to see your little face again. Although I wish you were here.
It's coming. I'm coming.
Brilliant.
But how is your New Year? Did you get smashed?
Well, it was unexpected because I had a pre-New Year so that I wouldn't have to go out on New Year. And I was dragged along. I'll say dragged, but actually I really enjoyed it. I went to Laser Quest in the daytime with my son and a bunch of other people, friends and children. I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to go because I thought I'd break a hip or have a fall, you know. But actually, I stayed upright at all times.
You sound like you're 80 years old. Jesus Christ.
Luckily for me, I had about 13, 14-year-old boys. There's about 10, 14-year-old boys that just, they weren't with me, but they got lumped into my particular team. And I was very low in scoring on the death front in the beginning. The second round, I knew exactly what I was doing. I found my spot and I shot the shit out of those people that I knew were threats. I know exactly how to protect myself now in a Laser Quest environment. So bring it on.
Wow, that sounds great. Shoot them up.
Shoot them up and kill them all. All those little four-year-old children. No, they're not four. The youngest was six, but we did. Yeah, you had to shoot them in the back, in the front, everywhere.
You showed no mercy, I bet.
Well, I was sick of always dying. I turned around, there's a two-year-old. Not really. They were pretty young, though. They kept ganging up on me, Michelle.
Do you know what? That sounds like me skiing. Before I could sort of ski. I can sort of ski now. But when I couldn't ski at all, I was told by one of the local kids that they were using me as a kind of a beacon to ski around. Like when you... Yeah, it was awful. So I was sort of like the slow poke where they would do their fast ski training around me. I was an obstacle on their obstacle course.
You were like a traffic cone in the middle of the snow.
Pretty much. And I knew they were doing it too because they'd be like, pshoom, past me. And sometimes they would laugh.
That is hilarious.
So, but you know what? It doesn't happen anymore because I've got my ski legs now. So
oh,
I'm all
good.
Right. Well, on the day before, yeah. So what, 31st, I watched a film.
Yeah.
A film. Because I don't really watch films anymore.
No.
I watch TV series.
I've heard there's a really one about Don't Look Up. I've heard that's the best thing to watch at the moment. Is that what you watched?
That is exactly what I was going to talk to you
about.
I watched Don't Look Up. Everyone is talking about it. And look, if you have been under a rock, you don't know about this movie. It's with Leonardo DiCaprio, who is basically sexy scientist. Although I didn't think he was that sexy.
I had a feeling that a lot of the ladies that have told me about watching it only came across it because they did, oh, Leonardo. Oh, I'll pop that on. And they had no idea what to expect.
Well, Meryl Streep's in it, Jennifer Lawrence, Cate Blanchett, Melanie Lynskey. She keeps popping up everywhere. Look, it's pretty polarizing film. People I've spoken to who have seen it are like, I fucking hate that film, or I love it. There's not really much in between. So I'd be interested to know what you think about it.
Yeah, we're going to watch it tonight, so I'll tell you.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Do you know what we watched instead, though? Because I said I wasn't in the mood for a long film last night. I said, you just watch what you want, love, to my husband. I've got some other things to just potter around and do, and I'll just dip in and out. So he put, and I don't even know what it's called. You might know, but I doubt it. It's got Guy Pearce, ex-Neighbours Guy Pearce, looking quite young. So I don't think it's, I think it's quite an old film. He was in the army or something in pioneering Americaille. Robert Carlyle, Begbie from Trainspotting.
Yeah.
He was the bad guy.
Always. He's always a bad guy.
I think David Arquette was in it as well. It was about cannibals. So because they were in pioneering America and they had some Native American people there, there was something about if you eat the flesh of a man, it becomes, you know, it drives you, it heals you, but then it makes you crazy.
Honestly, this sounds like 100% not my kind of film already.
No, it wasn't mine.
Keep going.
Let me tell you, it wasn't mine.
Although, talking about cannibalism, And I don't want to give the game away, but I am very much enjoying Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, this stupid film I watched, it just ruined my night, really. We should have just watched Don't Look Up.
You should have, because, like I said, it's not for everyone, Don't Look Up. But for me, it's kind of a bit of a satirical end of the world film that, you know, it's a bit of a damning indictment on Trump and his administration and how he ran America. And, you know, it pokes fun at Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. For me, and look, I don't want to say too much because obviously you're going to watch it, but there is a line towards the end of the film where, and it's just an extra, just some extra who's not, who's a random like extra in the film, says, "Oh my God, we've been lied to." Mm-hmm. And all I could think of was Brexit and how everyone felt after they realized we'd all been lied to about the NHS, about basically everything that Brexit would bring to the country. And I just think there are so many political parallels about how we're treated by our governments, how social media basically rules the fucking world. There's just so many echoes, like political, social media, you know, greed comes first. It's, yeah, I'm keen to hear what you think about it.
Who made the film? Who's the director, the writer?
His name's Adam McKay, and I do know what he did and I have seen it, but I can't remember. I do think it's an important message, even if you don't like, there's no subtlety in this film. It just slams you over the head with the messages. But I do think there are important messages for everyone to think about, because it's a horrible view of our society, but so fucking eerily prescient, I think. Oh. And also a little bit Black Mirror in it's not so far from the truth. So there you go. Don't Look Up.
So I'll watch the shit out of that tonight, Michelle, and let you know.
Watch the shit out of that. But also, I wanted to just say thanks again to last week, our guest, Tamira.
Tamira.
Oh, we've had so many nice comments, haven't we? Do you know what? My favourite one, it was actually one of Tamira's clients who was not an eavesdropper before. Maybe she will be now.
I hope so.
And she had written Tamira a message saying, "Loved hearing your voice. Loved those girls. It was so refreshing that they weren't woke."
Oh, I didn't see that.
Just cracked me
up. So this is a positive thing now that we're not woke.
It's a positive that we're not woke. And I was talking to a friend of mine and I was laughing saying, "Oh, yeah, we're refreshing because we're not woke." And she's like, "What does that mean? What does woke mean?" So basically, for anyone who doesn't know what woke means, it's just another word for social awareness and political correctness. And look, I'm not saying that we're not woke.
We are politically correct to a certain degree, I'd imagine.
I think we are. It's just that we are not obsessed by the idea of being woke. And also, like comedians always say, everything is up for grabs.
Yes.
You know, you can't be a stick in the mud about every single issue, because that's actually what gets a discussion and a debate going. So there you go. I love not being woke.
Yes, let's have a debate. Even though let's not hurt each other, people. Come on, put those sticks and stones down. I have a shout out.
To whom?
It's Tina in Valencia.
Tina.
Teens.
Hello.
Happy day, Tina. She's in Valencia. Now, when she said that to me, I thought, oh, Valencia, I can smell oranges just thinking about it. But I actually went there in 2017 for my honeymoon. Now, bear in mind that that honeymoon not only had my children there, also my parents, and I chose a very bad Airbnb, and we went to what's commonly known as the frying pan of Europe in August. So it was the wrong time. It was the wrong time to go there. 49 degrees, Michelle. 49.
Oh my God.
I'm Australian. We never experienced that growing up.
Oh, I have in Melbourne. A few years ago, I remember being on the Big Dick.
What's the Big Dick?
That's the New Zealand way for saying big deck.
Of
I was
what?
On my big dick.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a deck. It's the back deck.
What? Whose dick is this?
Big dick. It's a deck.
Yes, but where? Is it like, I'm just thinking, because the way you said it, yes, you said it was a dick because your friends are from New Zealand. I get that. But the way you said it, it sounded like you were visiting, like, people know Australia has big things, like the big banana, the big prawn in Ballina,
the big dick,
the big merino in Goulburn. The big pineapple is more famous than all of those things. But yes.
The big banana is the most famous.
Oh, is it? And that's, where's that? Coffs Harbour.
Coffs Harbour, yeah. There's a big avocado around there as well.
Is
somewhere.
There? I've been inside the big prawn.
Oh, oh my God.
And the big merino.
Big merino, that's Goulburn, right?
That's Goulburn. Merinos.
And it's sheep. All in Australia for our international guests. Australians love big things, but Americans do too.
Who cares,
right?
That we don't have any architecture older than 200 years? We have a big dick. Do we have a big dick?
I don't think we do.
So what was this dick that you were sitting on, Michelle?
It was a big dick. And
and you were sitting on it.
My friend's place in Melbourne. And honestly, because I'd come from UK winter, which was fucking torturous, straight into the heat of an Australian summer, it was maybe not 49, it was maybe 46, 47, so a couple of degrees off. I was out there loving it, soaking up the rays, and my friends were inside, huddled around the air conditioner, saying, "What are you doing out there?" And
mad dogs and Englishmen is what they say. That's what my husband did when he went to Australia.
I know, they all end up, what is it, roast beef, as the French would say.
Roast beef. I wasn't keen. I had a shower to cool off. I stepped out of the shower. I didn't even need to reach for a towel. I was dry.
Oh, well, that's good that it's dry heat. It's the humid heat, like in Darwin, which is awful.
Is it a wet heat, Michelle?
It's humidity.
Humidity, my husband calls it.
Humidity.
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 Well, you're wet all day.
You're wet all day. And in fact, if you have any kind of wound and you're there in the wet season, you have to get out because it never dries out and never heals. And there's so many cases of gangrene in Darwin. So there you go, people. That's your education.
So now you know, Australia has a lot of big things, but no big dick. I'm sure some people would like to clarify that. Yeah. And if you've got a wound, don't go to the wet part of Australia because then you're just, it will never heal. We are full of tips. I loved our tip from last week, which is always put the toilet seat down and the lid.
I do that anyway, except when I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
You don't.
So that was, yeah, tip from the top.
Doris. Cloris. Maureen. Doreen. Leslie. Wesley. Tracy. Daniel,
Bill,
eavesdropping.
Should we talk about what we're talking about today, Michelle? Because I listened to a podcast over the festive season.
Oh, did you now? How festive was it?
Not festive at all, Michelle.
Great. That's what I love.
It was my little rest from the festive. It was called Sweet Bobby, and I'm sure your sisters heard about it because lots of people, a bit like Don't Look Up, it's the thing, it's the podcast of the moment.
Okay, it's in the zeitgeist, as I say.
It's from Tortoise Media, and there's a guy called...
Senior Moment.
Alexei Mostov. Mostov, I think is his name. He's the investigative journalist. He used to work for The Times, I heard somewhere. The Tortoise Media, maybe Tortoise Media is run by a former Times columnist or something, or editor or something. I'm getting it all wrong, but Michelle will put it in the notes if you want the actual facts later. But this podcast, Sweet Bobby, it's about a lady who was in a 10-year online relationship. And of course, at the end, no spoilers, she found out her partner wasn't who she thought he was all along.
Of course not.
She was tricked, or as they say, catfished.
So what, shoot, 10 years without meeting her partner?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you have to be pretty fucking thick. 10 years to let that go. I mean, well, come on. Because I told you in a previous episode, I got catfished. I've been catfished. I've talked about this.
You have told us that.
Yes.
Remind me again what happened.
Hot dude, hot young guy when I was on Plenty of Fish or one of those dating.
Is that the Christian one?
No.
Why is it called Plenty of Fish?
Because you'd like, oh...
Oh, there's plenty more fish
plenty
in the
more
sea.
Fish in the sea. That's where it's from. Yes, of course. You know, you throw them back. Throw them back in when they're a dud.
Mm. It's like swipe them one way and swipe them the other
way.
Yeah,
but it was more sort of innocent, I felt. And I was on OkCupid and whatever, you know. I was on the
app. Advertising for them now.
There was a hot young dude who was like messaging me from America. And I was just sort of doing it just for a bit of fun because, you know,
I was You'd chosen bored. Your wedding dress, hadn't you?
No. Oh, Jesus Christ. It was just a bit of fun, but he started sort of getting a little too, you know, asking for nudes and whatever. And it's like, oh, come on, dude. And
you didn't send him across a shot, did you?
Absolutely not.
I'm glad.
Absolutely not. Although, I mean, it's the thing. Everybody does it. No one cares
you
anymore.
You mustn't. That's another tip from us at Eavesdropping. Don't send him pictures of your hairy nipples. Don't send him pictures of, I mean, what could you send? Your bum crack or whatever it is that you send to these boys. Just don't do it.
I digress just for a moment. A friend of mine, she was telling me about her cousin who is on OnlyFans. We've talked about OnlyFans before. It's you know, where you go to basically sell porn. You're a sex worker online.
I'm so confused because I always thought OnlyFans is where you go to get people like Carl from Neighbours to say happy birthday.
Well, we talked about that with Hannah Huggins.
We did talk
too.
About this. But it wasn't.
That's a sideline. Their main bread and butter is porn.
Right.
And it turns out her niece has a very successful OnlyFans page with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They've got their solo OnlyFans site. They've got one together where they do things.
Ew, like sex?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Live sex. She is fucking rolling in it. But she's making so much moolah, and so is the boyfriend, because his is more like gay sex on his OnlyFans page. She's got all her like regulars, and then they've got their ones where they're like doing it together. And
oh god,
the thing is, you know, she's not even 20, and I just think these things have a shelf life. You know, they're not
I guess like modeling, they're just getting into it and they're just doing it while they can, I suppose, before the old boobs go saggy and the willy gets droopy or whatever happens.
I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking more about, okay, so when you maybe think, oh, I don't want to do sex work anymore, yeah, you know, it does this come back to haunt you?
Mm. Yeah, because it's all out there, isn't it?
It is all out there, and you don't know who's
taking screenshots.
All of that stuff. But anyway, I digress. When I got catfished, back to my catfishing.
Back to you, Michelle.
No. I mean, look, he was young, he was hot, he wanted nudes. I said no. I did what everyone should do, which is a reverse Google image search. Found that he just nicked these pictures, called him out on it. He was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm not that person. Turns out he was just some dude behind a computer in the middle of nowhere in America. And I was like, you know, own it, mate. Own who you are and stop, like, pretending, because what kind of life is this? And since then, I've been, you know, I've always enjoyed watching Catfish, which is that great American series. And in fact, I've got a story for you. But I want to hear all about Sweet Bobby.
Well, it's a little bit what you've just said about the poor man that's sitting behind his desktop in America, creating this fabulously rich fantasy life for himself, where he gets to ask lovely ladies like yourself, Michelle, to send across shots of your nip-nops.
Or money. Money.
He wants money as well. Don't give them money. Or you give them nudes and then they ask for money. Anyway, for this podcast, okay, let me give you the lowdown about this Sweet Bobby, okay? And anybody who hasn't heard it, there will be spoilers, so apologies.
I've not heard it. All right.
Well, I'm going to ruin it for you right now. Here we go. It's about a lady called Kirat Assi. Now, she is a prominent member of her local London Punjabi or Sikh community. She is now 42, but this was obviously back when she was in her 30s, this thing that happened to her. And she was a presenter, and I think she's recently started again, for a Hounslow-based Desi radio station, which is the kind of the music of that community.
Yeah.
And she was an events organiser. She was quite the go-getter, very attractive woman. Southwest London is where Hounslow is, not far from where I am currently recording from. So she found herself in a 10-year relationship online only with a cardiologist called Bobby, who she met through unusual circumstances in September 2009, which is when she was, like I said before, 30. Right. So what happened was, Michelle, she received a Facebook message randomly from her female cousin, who's called Simran. Her ex-boyfriend JJ contacted Kirat, who is our main protagonist in the story, right? Now, her cousin Simran was only 17, so JJ was young. But they had broken up JJ and the cousin Simran.
Okay.
So JJ reached out to Kirat to ask her, hi, we've only met a couple of times, you know, that kind of thing. But can you tell me, we've broken up. I've broken up with Simran and I'm really upset. Tell me, how can I get her back? I'm really into her, you know, that kind of thing. So because Kirat was older and very sweet, she thought, well, normally she wouldn't respond to that kind of message, but she did. And because they had met previously, albeit briefly, she did befriend JJ and they struck up a little friendship. It was just a little to-ing and fro-ing online, you know, like here and there. She gave him a bit of advice or whatever. She said she didn't make a habit of doing this kind of thing, but there was mutual friends involved, so she thought it would be fine. Then one day, she heard the tragic news that JJ had died from an allergic reaction.
What? Oh my God. Awful.
Devastating. So not long after that, somehow or another, JJ has a brother called Bobby, and he got in touch because he knew that they were friends. And he said to her, look, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being there for my brother, or whatever, you know, somehow or another, they got in touch on social media. Bobby was more Kirat's age, and they kind of struck up a little bit of a friendship, just like she had done with JJ previously. Because again, when she looked at his profile, she noticed that there were quite a few familiar faces in there, people that she knew, her cousin again, Simran. So ultimately, they would spend hours on the phone chatting and texting. Now, Bobby was married and had a young child, but at the time he told her his marriage was in trouble. He also had a lot of illnesses. So whenever she spoke to him on the phone, his voice was quite squeaky or weird. But that's because he'd had laryngitis. I know. So mostly he just texted.
Hello. It's great to hear from you.
Now, you'll feel mean now, Michelle, because this poor man had had numerous strokes and heart attacks.
Oh, he's a catch.
Yes, but I mean, Kirat's a nice person. She's not going to just ditch this poor man who wants her friendship because he's constantly having strokes.
So, I think anyway, he wanted some strokes. That's what I'm thinking here. Anyway,
he wanted a stroke. That's right. So at one point, a really weird thing happened. She went on a hen night. This is before they got into a relationship. They were just chatting and whatnot. And they couldn't meet because he was always elsewhere. I think he might have been living in another country or something. I can't remember all the details, so apologies for that. So anyway, she went to a hen weekend in Brighton with a bunch of ladies. And some point during the night, she saw this really tall, handsome Sikh guy with his, you know, because he was wearing a turban, standing out. She was like, oh my God, that's Bobby. And he was with a male friend. So she had a couple of drinks. She wandered over to him. She introduced herself. She said, hi, Bobby, it's me, Kirat. And he was like, hi. He didn't really seem to know who she was. She got the feeling that maybe he was feeling a bit embarrassed because he had his friend there.
Right. Okay. And he was in a relationship or married, right?
No. It was at this point, I think it had broken up.
Right.
I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So she just assumed maybe he wanted to keep the relationship their friendship secret. So anyway, then later on, now we've moved on a few years, it's 2013. She had a message saying that Bobby had been shot and was in a coma while visiting Pakistan. I think that's where he was. Forgive me again if I got all the info wrong. And he'd suffered a memory loss. But then by 2014, in January, this is all, you know, messages that she's receiving on her through her mutual friends on Facebook. And ex-wife was contacting her and all sorts because she knew they were friends. She learnt that Bobby sadly had died. So 3 weeks later, Michelle's not even reacting to
this. What? Where is this going? Like, what? He's dead. Where is this going?
We feel like we're having some kind of, I don't know, soap opera moment. It's nuts, right? 3 weeks later, of course, we wouldn't have a story if he didn't suddenly come back alive. So his ex-wife got in contact with Kirat and said, guess what? He's actually alive. He's okay. He's obviously still got his health issues, but he's in witness protection in New York. We can say no more.
This is all just sounding ridiculous. There are so many people involved in this scam.
To be fair to poor Kirat, because of the amount of people and because this has been going on incrementally, I'm telling you all this stuff at once.
Yeah.
This happened to her over a period of years.
Yeah.
So this was all backed up by other people. She had no need or no reason to question it. Plus, she was getting messages from the health professionals who were caring for Bobby. She'd spoken to doctors and nurses.
Or had she?
Well, exactly. Obviously, there's a trick coming. There's a twist.
Oh, gosh.
So there was the cousin Simran. There was the ex-wife. There was a list of other people she knew through Bobby. And they all had connections to her circle of friends. 5 years into their friendship, Bobby, who had always referred to her as a big kind of sister figure, he eventually confessed he was in love with Kirat and he wanted to be in a relationship. He really went for it with this. He was hounding her.
Gosh.
He was becoming suicidal and depressed. He had so many illnesses. At that time, she was being told by health professionals and the ex-wife that the best thing for him would be if she were to go along with it, because it would be, you know, it's kind of like a dying wish. And if he could just be in a relationship with her, then, you know, that might make him happy in his final days.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So they began a relationship, but he didn't die. So they're still together. And then suddenly, I think they're toing and froing, becoming more intimate. There's a Facebook group with about 39 people on it. They're all chit-chatting. They're all friends of Bobby's. It's kind of a way of getting Kirat to get to know all his family and friends. Simran's on there. So that's her cousin. She knows her in real life. So how could it not be right, you know? They used to phone each other, you know, from him in New York, her in London, and they'd have sex on the phone and Skype each other and just listen to each other's breathing until they fell asleep. Oh, and you can hear lots of loving voice notes in this podcast of her from Kirat to Bobby. Nothing from Bobby except for all the pings and the texts and the messages and stuff coming through.
Right.
And they began to get more frequent and controlling. He began to become coercively controlling over her from afar. And they still hadn't met.
I was going to say to you, what is Bobby's motivation here? Is it money? What's his angle? What's the angle here?
What is the angle?
I don't know. I'm waiting.
Well, you'll have to listen to find out. And I hope you'll get your answers, Michelle. Let's see. So anyway, they had never met, but they had things like Pinterest boards that they shared together. They were planning trips abroad together to meet. They were definitely, it was definitely on the cards. She was definitely being given a light at the end of the tunnel in this long-term relationship that she was now in and now really in love with him. They bought clothes together for his son. Like he'd say, come on, I need to buy a present for my son. I'd like to buy him some clothes. Let's have a look on Mother Care together or whatever online. And they chose them. And then she'd see pictures of it, of the little boy on his Facebook page wearing the clothes. So there's no need for her to actually ever think that this isn't real. Granted, it was unusual. Yes, there was some weird things. I mean, he'd had a heart attack whilst on the phone to her one day. And every time she doubted him, he would have another health crisis.
Of course, reel her in, just reeling her in.
Absolutely. In 2015, he suffered a brain tumor followed by yet another stroke. And he began...
This guy, I'm sorry. It's just like, he's the secret.
We mustn't laugh at other people's misfortunes,
no,
by
but
the
it's
way.
Not. It's a fake. He's not having strokes. He's not in a coma. He didn't get shot. It's all such a... Oh, my God.
But hang on, Michelle. He is real because she met him.
But did she?
Brighton.
He didn't give her the time of day. He didn't know who she was.
He was polite. Anyway, from afar, she once complained of chest pains. He told her she needed to get a mammogram, right? He forced her into getting a mammogram. When she got back to him to say that it was a male consultant, he went nuts. So he's doing all these really awful things. She's starting to get depressed, suicidal even. She didn't know whether she was up or down. This is all through her 30s, you know. She became depressed. She left her job. He never wanted her to go back and get another job. She was frightened of his temper. And whenever she pushed him for answers or whenever she was saying, come on, when can we meet? He predictably would have another heart attack or threaten suicide or whatever.
At what point does she just think to herself, I'm fucking done with this. Delete his number. Block. Yeah.
She's invested. Yeah. And she has, like I said, no reason to doubt him. When she does doubt him, something goes wrong. She'll get a message from one of his family or friends or a phone call and say, come on, he really loves you. He really loves you. Come stick with it. Don't be mean or whatever.
Now, one question for you. Throughout this period, has she been sending him money?
I don't know. No, I don't think there was any money, but she did lose money through loss of earnings.
Oh, okay. All
but
right.
Let me continue and I'll give you some answers. They're coming, people.
My mind's ticking over. Like, what is going on here?
That's what happened when I was listening to the podcast. So in 2018, Bobby was finally well enough to come to London from New York and they agreed to meet. Finally, 2018. They've only known each other since 2009.
Right.
But things kept being delayed and he'd make excuses, not turn up, all of the same old stuff, right?
Is he still Bobby or is he in witness protection still?
Well, he's Bobby and he's in witness protection. But somehow he's managing to get himself over to London. And he did drop in somewhere the name of the hotel where he was staying in London. So she went there, but he wasn't there.
Of course not.
So she's starting to get a little bit confused.
Only now? Only 11 years
desperate.
In?
Desperate.
Oh, my God.
She consulted a private investigator and got him on the job, who then came back to her with an address for Bobby in Brighton. So she got in her car on this day in 2018 and she drove there. She didn't tell anyone about it.
Oh.
So no one knew she was going.
Yep.
She knocked on the door. He took a long time to answer. She'd already turned and walked away. Then when he came to the door, she turned around. She's like, Bobby, hello, it's me. He was a bit confused and he said, I don't know who you are. And she's like, your brother JJ, come on, this is how we know each other. We're in a, you know, all of this stuff. And he said, well, you must have me confused with my brother. A lot of people would get Bobby and JJ mixed up.
Oh.
She was absolutely stunned. She's like, no, I know it's not JJ. I know it's you. And her mind's racing.
But wasn't JJ dead?
JJ's dead as far as she knows. So anyway, there's this man standing in front of her that she's known for 10 years, been in a relationship with for 5, in an exclusive and intimate relationship as far as she was concerned. And he's behaving like he's never seen her before. So her mind's racing. She's thinking, what the fuck is going on?
One question. Was it the tall guy that she had previously seen in the hotel?
It was that guy. Yeah, it's Bobby.
I knew it.
He is Bobby. Yeah.
Right.
In the bar in Brighton.
Yes,
yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, she got her phone out. She pulled up some pictures and he's like, well, yeah, that's me. That is me. And she was really, they're both really confused at this point. Neither of them realized that somebody had taken those photos and created an entire fiction for Kirat only. Then the ex-wife comes to the door holding their son. But only it's not his ex-wife. It's his current wife who he's still in a relationship with.
So oh my God.
Kirat now, she loses her shit properly. She gets hysterical. Bobby thinks, oh my God, who is this woman? I'm calling the police. So she's confused and bewildered. So she calls her cousin Simran and she puts her on loudspeaker and he can hear the conversation. And he's like, oh, is that Simran? And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, how are you? You're all right. So they know each other, right?
Yeah.
So they had a little chat and then Simran then said, let me just speak to Kirat quickly. And she said, listen, Kirat, don't worry, it's fine. He still loves you, but you need to leave right now. Get in the car. I'll tell you everything. Get in the car, go home.
No. So the cousin is in on it.
The two met up and they went for a drive, Simran and Kirat, right? Kirat was really worried for Simran because she thought, my God, poor Simran has now been fooled by this guy as well. Something is desperately not right. So Simran, who was, you know, she's holding her hand, she's looking after her cousin. She said, listen, I'll come and work from home on Monday with you if you want. I'll come round. I'll spend the day with you. You need someone because this all happened over the weekend, right? So on the next Monday, Simran turns up in the car with her brother. Her brother drops her off and she's outside. Kirat had a look out the window. She could see them kind of arguing and she thought, well, what's going on there? So then Simran walked in and she said, I've got something to tell you. She said, it was me. I'm Bobby.
No.
Kirat thought, what are you saying? And she didn't really get it. Like it wasn't computing.
No, of course not.
Kirat.
She can't process it.
But when it did dawn, she was like, who have I been sleeping with for all these years? And she said, well, it's me.
Oh,
so she she fell on the floor. She collapsed. Then she puked. She absolutely lost it.
Oh, my God.
But Simran was completely deadpan when she said to her, well, I was in a dark place and I've ruined my life too.
Oh, no remorse.
And that was her no remorse, no remorse at all.
Fuck.
So in the following days, Kirat went to the police. But not only did they say that they couldn't help her, but they questioned her sanity because obviously she's high as a kite at this point. She's completely just realised that her entire existence
for the last 11 years has been a lie.
More the last 5 because she's been in a relationship with this this man like properly intimate for the last five. Then they did come back to her and say, listen, the crime really is against Bobby, who's real. His identity's been stolen. So take it to Brighton. Don't bring it to us here in Hounslow. So she referred it to Brighton police from Hounslow, but the case was eventually reopened, but they couldn't really find anything to hang on Simran. Simran walked free. Nothing happened to her.
No.
She didn't even lose her job. She was 16 at the time, 16, 17 at the time when this was all happening, by the way.
Oh,
obviously,
my God.
She's in her 20s at the point where it all comes undone. But eventually, and this is all where they do explore this much deeper in Sweet Bobby, the podcast, I think Kirat brought a civil action case against Simran. And when they leaned on her, she eventually sent her an apology letter. But I mean, the families even didn't really back Kirat at all. They were kind of like, oh, she's only young. Yeah, leave her. She's a bright star in that family. They need to kind of don't shame the family. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Eventually, she did get an apology letter, but she wasn't allowed to show anybody.
And it's not enough. It's not enough. An apology letter? What a fucking joke.
No. Exactly. And poor old Kirat has just lost all that time to meet someone, to have a family. She's luckily is starting back at her old job, but she's been without any kind of support in all that time. And now she's left feeling like her entire life has just been ripped out from under her.
Honestly, when you talk about it in this way, you do think, how stupid can you be? But, you know, people are so desperate for love and to believe that they will excuse anything. And I feel
people are trusting as well. Yeah.
And I feel sad. Yeah.
For Simran, I feel sad as well, but I also feel angry. But the thing is, this woman, she's done it before. They found out that she had done it before. She was a big one. She's not on social media at the moment, but she was a big one for creating false
profiles.
Realities.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So what's going on with her mental health? What's going on with her background that she feels that she needs to pretend to be someone that she's not? She was working high up in a bank, earning shitloads of money, doing great. She could have had the life that she was pretending to have.
Yeah, but you don't really know what's going on, do you, with people?
Some form of narcissism? I just don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty wild.
That is wild. And, you know, I listened to a podcast. It was actually just a catfish podcast where very similarly, there was a woman who was in an online relationship with another woman who said she was, her name was Courtney. She was in the Navy and she had a kid, but, you know, she wanted to have another one and they decided, never met, obviously, they decided they were going to have a baby together. And neither of them had the time to have a baby, so they started sending Courtney money for the surrogate because they were going to have a surrogate, the baby.
Right.
All of a sudden, the baby's there and she's like, oh, yeah, I went ahead with the surrogate and just had the baby. So she's like, wow, I'm a mum now. And then she thought something's not adding up here because she wasn't allowed to meet the baby.
She hadn't even met a partner.
No, nothing. But she felt like a mum and she'd been giving loads of money. And then she got Neve and Max from Catfish involved. And they tracked down Courtney. Turns out it was actually Courtney's sister, Brittany, who had stolen the sister's identity. And all the pictures were real, but they were all of her sister. So she was just this girl who had no confidence in herself, obviously felt like she'd got the short end of the stick or whatever it is, the thin edge of the wedge with the looks and the brains and whatever in the family, was in awe of her sister, stole her sister's identity, stole her ID to pick up all the money that was being transferred by wire. And, you know, it was just really sad. And in the end, she was like, oh, I'm sorry, but, you know, I love you. We could still have a future together. And this other girl's like, are you kidding me? Like, we're done.
It's so sad.
It's
so
really sad,
isn't it?
Really sad.
I mean, what goes on in their minds, the people who are perpetrating these crimes? Because they are crimes.
They are crimes.
Although, no, actually, they're not crimes. They should be, but currently in this country, they're not. I think you can probably get in there somehow with, like I said before, the Hounslow police suggested that it was identity theft, that that wouldn't have gotten justice for Kirat. But for Kirat, she was in a coercive, controlling relationship. But I did look up the laws about that, and you need to have evidence. And there was no, I mean, actually, maybe there's evidence on her phone with the messages.
Well, I think the messages, yeah, surely the messages are enough. But, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of layers to that story, but fuck. Yeah. I mean, 11 years to never have met someone.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's ridiculous.
But as we all know, Michelle, time does fly.
Time does fly, but come on. I think it was after, you know, a couple of days where I was like, this dude, my catfish dude, he's not real, you know, You kind of just...
He's Bubbles from Trailer Park.
Yeah.
Baywit, it's a Baywit. No shirt and thong. What a ding dong.
Oh,
Baywit, it's a Baywit. Big gut hanging out. Kitty, 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 cat.
Oh, I don't even know. Yes. What the fuck?
Like I said, I love Catfish, the TV show. And look, and I do feel kind of guilty for voyeuristically, you know, getting into the show because...
Other people's misery.
Yeah, it's fundamentally, it's really sad, you know. And
I've watched one episode, Michelle, and I have to say it pulls at your heartstrings because you feel sorry for the person being catfished. You know they're being lied to, they're being duped, and it's very, very sad and very unfair. But then you meet the poor sod who's actually perpetrating these acts, and that's where you feel sorry. That's where you think, oh, mate, you poor bugger.
Yes and no. I mean, it depends on the situation and how manipulative and how controlling
they've been.
Being
caught out on TV.
I know. How embarrassing. I mean, I'm always shocked when they agree to meet. You know, it's like, why wouldn't you just hang up the phone and go, fuck off, mate?
I'm going to be on TV, mama. Not for a good thing, but still, my face will be on the television.
My 5 minutes. Yeah, look, I mean, I guess I do feel bad for both sides because, you know, the person who's looking for love, and it's always love, they really want to believe that the person they're talking to online is real. And they put hope and faith and trust into that person. You see this time and time again on the show. Every time they try and take the conversations a step further into real life, the efforts are always derailed by excuses.
Yeah.
Generally, like a health issue or...
Many strokes.
Yeah, many strokes. I got shot, whatever. Or they're in a job like the Navy or the Army where they have to go on tours or whatever. Or they have difficulties with their equipment. Oh, my phone's broken. Oh, yeah, the camera on it doesn't work.
Right.
So I'm sorry. Nobody has a fucking...
Not this day and age.
No. So, you know, it's just all rubbish. Or even worse, they make arrangements to meet and then just never show up. And so that person has all that hope and excitement, and then, you know, it's all dashed. I mean, look, you know, I've been stood up when I was on dates before. It's horrible.
Have you?
Yeah, there was...
What, you're just sitting there waiting and they don't turn up?
Yeah, and I've done it to people as well.
Have you, Michelle?
Yeah, where you look at them and you're like, I'm not going on the date, and you just turn around.
But why did you agree to go in the first place? That's not nice.
Because you think you're going on a date with someone, and then you see them and you're like, that's fucking them, but the photos were 10 years ago.
Oh, I see. So you see them walking into the bar and you just turn tail and...
Yeah, I've done that. I'm not...
What about if you have to walk past them to get out?
No, I've done it and been able to, like... Often I've been the one to walk in and then scan the room. No, I'm done. I'm out. And so it's not nice. But then on the other side of that, they must have done that to me.
Who are you?
No, but when I've been stood up. I mean, but gosh, when I was on one of these sites, I remember there was a guy who I was meant to go on a date with. And he actually blew me off before we were actually meant to meet up, which in hindsight was a great thing because... He was polyamorous and was looking for, you know, several ladies. So anyway, I was friends with this woman very high up in the music industry in America. And she came to London and we met up and had a coffee. And she said, oh, to be honest, I'm here to meet a guy. And I was like, oh, tell me all about it. And she showed me a picture and I'm like, are you fucking joking? That dude was meant to go on a date with me. cancelled. And actually, he's polyamorous. Do you know this? And she's like, well, yeah, I do, but I'm cool with it. You know, I'm getting counselling about how to date a polyamorous guy. She ended up marrying him.
What?
Being one of his wives. Oh, yes. I mean,
what?
The shit that goes online, happens online with online dating, it's mental. And people that you actually know in real life. So it's just, it's a whole minefield out there. But anyway, talking of like faking like profiles and whatever.
Yeah.
You can now even manipulate video chats because there are all those like deep fake AI powered video kind of apps that you can use where you can change your face, change your voice. And there's something called Manicam, which is like a virtual webcam where it plays the fake video source that you've pointed the app to kind of be the face. So you can either put your own voice on or you can do a fake voice, but you know, all of that is can be faked as well. So even if you think you're video calling someone, could be massive deep fake. So it's getting harder and harder to be savvy about if someone's legit. And you can get catfish now with video calls, which is a minefield out there, you know. So yeah. I feel like...
What happened to old good old-fashioned speed dating where you can all just...
Not even speed dating, Geordie.
Sit in a line and then...
No!
Or maybe a dance.
Well, what I was going to say is you go to a party. You go to a bar. You go to the disco. Yes. And you get fucking smashed. You snog someone. You go home with them. You realize you have beer goggles on. But then if they're a nice person, you might give them your number. So old school. Old school's always the best.
The old way. Yeah.
The old way. But when I was looking into catfishing, I came across this thing. It's actually called the catfishing challenge on TikTok. Do you know about this?
No.
Right. I mean, it's a bit old now because it started in 2020, probably during the pandemic, I would say. But it's still going and it's kind of hilarious because it's not relationship catfishing, as we've just talked about, but more about not looking in real life like you do in your photos on Instagram or Snapchat.
Right.
So basically, you look like a fucking goddess in these pictures, but in real life, you're just a bit of a minger, you know. So it's more,
Michelle.
It's called accidental catfishing. And actually, look, it started when an Australian girl on TikTok, and her username, I love this, her username is Moldogger.
What?
Moldogger. Moldogger.
Dogger.
Moldogger. Moldogaa. Moldogger. And she shared a Snapchat selfie of her with like all her hundreds of thousands of followers where, I mean, she looked stunning. She looked like a fucking Kardashian Barbie. She was super glam. She had the big lips, you know, the boobs, that whole look.
I suspect that even they don't look like that.
I bet they don't. Although they are stunning. But the caption was something like, just took this photo on Snapchat. I do not look like this. And then she just put a picture of herself up looking normal but kind of laughing like, what a joke. Like, this is what I really look like. And it just took off. Like, people started posting like super glam pictures of themselves and then overlaying a picture of them where they're just normal. No makeup, not dressed up, boobs aren't out. And yeah, this whole accidental catfish challenge started on TikTok. And I have to
say... Did you do it?
Did I do it? No.
Did you want to do your picture all glam with the boobs up and around your neck?
No, God. I actually think it's kind of cool because these girls are just taking the piss out of the fake filters and everything that can make you look like some kind of movie star when in real life you're just a normal person. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of a cool way of women reclaiming their own looks. And I'm sorry if I said they look like mingers. They don't. They just look like mingers. Normal, nice
normal.
Girls, you know.
Yes.
And anyway, you can always go on. And I mean, I just thought it was nice that people just were natural about their looks and kind of poking fun at how insane the filters are. So you can have a look at this on TikTok. It's Catfish Challenge, or you can put Catfish Queen or Extreme Makeover, whatever. It all comes up.
Okay.
And then when I was doing this catfish research, some duck-duck-going, I found what I thought was going to be the ultimate eavesdropping catfish. So again, Neve and Max, they got this letter from a girl who said, I think someone is using my family to catfish me. So it wasn't a relationship catfish. It was a weird family catfish.
Family WhatsApp.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all got those. So her name's Kayla. She's 18 years old. She's from Shepherdsville, Kentucky, because it's always in America. When she was 16 years old, a woman called Courtney, seems like they're all called Courtney as well, got in touch with her.
Bloody Courtney.
Bloody Courtney's. Got in touch via Facebook to tell her that her dad, who she hadn't seen since she was a kid, wanted to reconnect. So Kayla struck up a conversation with this woman, and over 2 years, Kayla and Courtney became really close, but had never met. Courtney was giving her all of these messages from her dad, and in her letter to Nev, she says she hasn't seen her dad in 14 years because her dad is dead.
Oh.
Yes. So this woman, Courtney, says she's been channeling the spirit of Kayla's dead dad, Frank Harbin Jr., and has been giving Kayla messages from her dad for 2 years. But the thing is, Kayla's sort of getting sus about it, because whenever she tries to meet up with this woman, Courtney, Courtney's always got an excuse, doesn't want to meet up, but still keeps giving all of this information to Kayla. And so Neve and Max are like, all right, are you also sending her money? And she's like, no, 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 I'm not. You know, in fact, it's the other way around. You know, when she had a baby, this woman, Courtney, sent gifts. And, you know, so so it's kind of weird. It was like, what is the motivation here of this woman, Courtney? Is she really a clairvoyant and just wants to give messages from the dead dad? Or is there something else? But, of course, there's always a backstory, and Kayla's is pretty fucked up. So basically, I did some digging, and the backstory does check out. So in 1999, her dad, who had some mental health issues and was basically bipolar schizophrenic, he had some kind of mental breakdown, and he killed Kayla's mum.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But worse than that, her mother was pregnant. And he stabbed Kayla's mother 20 times, stabbing the unborn baby and the mother to death. Then he went to prison, had a breakdown, killed himself. Right. So this poor girl, Kayla, has had a fucked up time, right? And then she gets this Facebook message from this woman, Courtney, out of the blue saying, I've got messages from your dad. So She was like two or three when her mum was stabbed to death. So she doesn't remember her mum, but she does remember her dad from when he was in prison. And she was raised by her grandmother. This clairvoyant just sort of said, listen, I've got messages from you. Your dad says he can't believe that you've forgiven him. And because she was saying, I did forgive my dad because he was obviously ill, and you can't blame someone who's ill. And, you know, I just wish I had my mum and my dad back, but I don't. But I forgive my dad. No hard feelings, kind of thing. And this woman's like, well, you know, he can't believe that you've forgiven him, and he's so grateful. And she started giving a bit of information about the dad, and it all checked out.
Right.
Yeah.
So is it legit?
But then when she wouldn't meet up, that's when she got Neve and Max involved. Right. She's like, is she legit? So they met up with Kayla, and she's got this Aunt Shannon, who's actually the dead dad's sister, and who's like, listen, I think this woman's a sham. There are things about my brother and Kayla's mom that she doesn't know. Kayla doesn't know at all. And, you know, I just think if this woman really is real, she'll know what these things are, things that only the family knows. They start investigating. They find Courtney's Facebook, and in their opinion, it checks out. She's got the Facebook profile had been up for 10 plus years, loads of people commenting. There's pictures of her aging, you know, just like 10 years, like she looks different, and her family and whatever. So they just went to the latest post and contacted a friend who had just written a comment. Hi, you know, we're Nax and me from Catfish. We just want to know about Courtney.
Is there a reason why they didn't go straight to Courtney?
Well, they wanted to check out whether or not these people are real who are commenting.
Oh, okay.
They always do it. They
that
always
was their tactic.
They always right. they never go direct. They always go to a friend first. Turns out
got it.
The person they'd contacted was the next door neighbor, and she's like, "Listen, yeah, I live next door to her and Courtney's the real deal. She's a psychic." And they said, "Oh, have you ever heard about of a girl called Kayla?" And she's like, "Yeah, Frank. Frank's her dad. Frank's actually been in my house. Frank is a spirit that comes with Courtney to the house." And then she said this thing. She said when Frank had been in the house, she felt someone blow on her cheek. And do you know what I thought of?
Hazel, the psychic real estate agent. That's what happens to her.
I know. So I got a little shiver and I was like, oh my God, we've heard this before. This happened to Hazel.
Yes.
So, and if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, go to season 2, episode 40, because you can hear all about what happened to Hazel when she was channeling a little Italian man in a house she was trying to sell. Anyway, they finally get in touch with Courtney. They're like, "Hi, it's Max and Neve from Catfish." And she's really fucking hurt. She's like, "I'm really upset that Kayla thinks I'm not real to the point where she needs to get a TV show involved." And you know what? No. That's a really fucking normal response, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they're like, "Listen, she wants to meet you. Will you meet?" And she said, "Yeah, of course I will. Okay, I'll do it." So they get the TV crew. They all go down to Florida or wherever she lives. And yeah. They meet up and she's just like, "Oh my God, you know, of course I'm real. I'm sorry if I upset you." And, you know, it. Mm-hmm. And Neve and Max are looking going, this woman's not a fucking fake. And so anyway, they start talking and Kayla's like, "You know, I just can't believe that this is real. You know, there are some dark secrets in the family that only the family know." And boom, mm-hmm. Courtney's like, "Do you mean the fact that your mum was a stripper?" And she's like, "Yeah." And she said, "Or are you talking about that Frank was abused and was locked in the basement?"
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this woman knows stuff that is deep, deep shit, right? So at this point, they stop filming because Kayla's like getting really overwhelmed. And at this point, the aunt wasn't there. So they went back and Kayla said to the aunt, "Listen, she mentioned the abuse." And the aunt was like, "Oh my God, no one knows about that except me and Frank, because our parents did it to both of us." So it was just really awful. And then they agree to meet the next day, and Courtney invites them to her home, which if you've got something to hide, you don't bring people into your home. But she let crew, everyone in, and Shannon, the sister, goes with her. And this time Kayla said, "Oh, did you speak to my dad last night?" And she said, "Yeah, I did. And I said that you were both here, that his sister was here as well." And he turned around and said something like, "He's always felt that his sister thought he was trash and that she never liked him and that she had issues with him and that you're a bossy bitch." And the sister's there. And then she turns around and she's like, "I'm sorry, these are not my words. These are Frank's." And she said, "Does that resonate with you?" And she's like, "That's exactly what he would have said to me." And so it just gets kind of
how
crazy.
Interesting. That's not what you sign up for when you watch an episode of Catfish.
Not at all. Not speaking with the dead. And then Courtney says, "Listen, he knows you're mad at him, but he's more mad at his foster mum. He's angry at her." And Shannon's like, "Which foster mum?" Because apparently they'd all been in and out of foster homes.
Yeah.
Courtney turns and says, "The foster mum that he slept with."
Oh, and then
they're like, my God, this is stuff that was deep family secrets that no one ever knew about. And then they're all like, this woman is like the real fucking
deal.
She's on
the money.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
it's funny. I was going to say it's like a happy ending, but really it's not such a happy ending because what a tragic life
awful,
that family had.
Just so awful. And then Aunt Shannon, the auntie, says, "Listen, actually, that foster mum got in touch with me a few years ago and was really freaked out because she said, I think Frank is haunting me because I smell his cigarettes and I smell his cologne." And Courtney's like, "Yep, he hates her and he's haunting her." And then Kayla.
Oh, my God.
And then Kayla's like, "Is he here in the room with us?" And Courtney says, "Yeah, but he doesn't want to show himself. He's just observing."
Do you really want a murderer that has already died, bipolar murderer in the room with you, and you can't get rid of him.
No. And look, Kayla starts talking to him, just saying, you know, I love you, Dad, whatever. And the upshot is everyone walks out of Courtney's house believing she can talk to the dead. So amazing. It was kind of this crazy episode. But of course,
I love that.
I didn't leave it there. I did some more investor Googling, DuckDuckGoing.
Right.
And look, there are threads all over Reddit saying that episode's a total scam. It was set up. And Aunt Shannon had been to a psychic and told information to some psychic who was friends with a psychic that Courtney knew and blah, blah, blah. But do you know what? I don't know what to believe, but all I know is that it made really great television. And yeah, if anyone's interested, God, what was it? Season 5, episode 10 or something. So yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Michelle. That was quite uplifting, like I said, but unusually so with all that absolute tragedy
I know.
In the backstory. But yeah.
Thanks for your amazing story. I loved Sweet Bobby.
Well, go and listen to it. I mean, there is so much more to Sweet Bobby than what I said. And I think I got quite a lot of things maybe not quite accurate. So maybe go back and listen to it yourself. It's stunning how it's been told as well. I mean, then you know straight away that she has been the victim of a catfishing scam. Yeah. You don't know who it is until episode 3. So you do find out quite quickly who it is.
And then it's just more about unraveling the story. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
But one thing that I would like to know, and unfortunately we don't, is why? Why, Simran, did you do it? Why?
Simran, if you're listening, get in touch. Our eavesdroppers want to know.
She's not going to get in touch with us. She didn't get in touch with Tortoise Media. We may end up with like a cease and desist order because she's, you know, she's pretty savvy when it comes to the lawyers. She's lawyered up.
Well, we're not saying anything more than it's a fact. She did it. She's admitted to it. We're just asking why. We're not going to get any answers. Yeah. So, you know, keep those lawsuits at home, people.
Please. Well, it was lovely to see you again, Michelle. And I guess we will have to reconvene next week.
Yes.
And in the meantime, whatever you do.
Wherever you are.
Whatever you're wearing.
just keep
eavesdropping.
Eavesdropping. Eavesdropping. Eavesdropping. Eavesdropping. Eavesdropping. Eavesdropping.
Dropping, dropping.